said how he was dead. So this was the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they seemed. Now that he was dead and gone, the cord and the jail, the hammer, the nail, how could a night be so long? Then came the morning, night turned into day. The stone was rolled away. Hope rose with the dawn. Oh, then came the morning. Shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost and life had won. For morning had come. The star, the kings from afar, the wedding, the water, and the wine. Now it was done. They'd taken her son. She thought wasted before his time. She knew it was true. She watched him die too. She'd heard them call him just a man. But deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow her son would live again. Then came the morning, night turned into day. Was rolled away. Hope rose with the dawn. Then came the morning. Shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost and life had won. For morning had come.
Our Bibles this morning to the book of Philippians in second chapter. I'll begin reading in verse 5 concerning three empty promises. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is at the very heart of the Christian religion. If you take the resurrection out of Christianity, all that you have is another religion. And religion is man reaching up to God. Salvation is God reaching down to man. And so this morning we're going to look at, even though it's not Easter Sunday, and I realize many preachers preach around the calendar. They'll preach on Christmas. He'll preach Luke chapter 2 around Christmas, of course, and then in Easter and so forth, and patriotic holidays during the summer and so forth. But we can preach the resurrection of Christ anytime, amen? You can preach the birth of Jesus anytime, amen? And so you don't have to stick with a calendar as far as preaching is concerned. Philippians 2 and verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Years ago, they did not separate handicapped children from the others and have special classes for them as they do today. And Jeremy was not a normal child. He had a terminal disease, an illness which affected both his mind and his body. Still, his parents tried to give him a normal life as possible and sent him to a Christian school. And even though that he was 12 years old, he was only in the second grade. He was very slow in learning, and he was a frustration, actually, to the other students and to the teachers who taught him. Seemingly, he was unable to learn. And very frustrating process. Springtime came, and the children excitedly talked about the coming of Easter, and their teacher told them the story of Jesus. And to emphasize the idea of new life, springtime, and springing forth of new life in the spring, she gave each child a large plastic egg. And she said she wanted each child to take that plastic egg and find something that speaks of new life and put it inside the egg and bring it back to school the next day. And so the children did as they were told. They brought their eggs in the next morning, and she started opening the eggs. And she came to one egg, and it had a butterfly in it. And she said, "Well, that's good. That's real good. You were really thinking there. That speaks of new life. Butterflies speak of new lives. And so that's good." And she says, "This should teach us something about the resurrection, a new life, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ." And then she opened up another egg, and it had a flower in it. "Oh, yeah, that's great. That's great. That speaks of new life. Flowers speak of new life. That's good." And she came to Jeremy's egg, and she just sort of put it over to the side. She was afraid to open that one. She put that over to the side and just kept on going like nothing was ever said about that. Jeremy saw it, however. She saw his egg being set over to the side. She kept on going and opening the eggs, and finally said, Jeremy said, "Miss Miller, Miss Miller, what about my egg? Can you open my egg?" Miss Miller was not anxious to open his egg, so she hesitated. But she knew that she had to. He had requested it openly in front of everyone else, and so she had to open his egg. She was afraid what she might find. But she did, reluctantly. And she opened his egg, and there was nothing in it. Jeremy and been listening to her all week very attentively. And the teacher had noticed that he often just stared at her eyes, trying to take in, trying to comprehend what she was saying about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then she realized that Jeremy's egg was the best of all, because Jeremy's egg spoke of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The tomb was empty, Jeremy said. The tomb was empty. That speaks to us of a resurrected life, as nothing else does. The Bible says in Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6, "And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Now there are three empty promises that we can celebrate about the resurrection of Christ. First of all, and the empty life, in verse 7. Jesus showed the way to be full is to be empty. The way to be full is to be empty. Real fulfillment comes when we are empty of our own desires and make Jesus our heart's desire. Jesus' last words before his death, "It is finished." It is finished. The work of salvation was finished by Jesus' death on the cross. Everything needed to be done was done. Jesus has literally emptied himself of everything he had to offer to me and you, that we might live life abundantly. And that's an attractive thing about Christianity. Just mark the people who are living today looking for fun and looking for fulfillment and looking for something in life and are actually lost and without Jesus Christ. But by coming to Christ, they have abundant life. The very thing they're looking for. Abundant life. And so, when you watch him live life, you know that his life was consumed for humanity. He emptied himself of all other cares. He emptied himself of all life to fill ours with his. And so if you're not experiencing God's presence in your life, it may be that you're not empty enough. Perhaps you're still full of the self life. And if so, by emptying yourself, you can be full of Jesus Christ and the life that he gives. We serve a Lord that specializes in filling emptiness. In John 6, there were 500 empty stomachs. And four plans were offered. The first plan that was offered was the disciple says, let's go get rid of the problem telling these people to go away. Jesus says that's not going to happen. Now, that's not the answer. They'll faint on the way. Philip says, let's raise some money. Even 200 days' wages would not be enough money. And so, money's not the solution to every problem, although we think it is today. Certainly our government thinks that. The more money we take from the people, the more problems we can solve. But in reality, the more money we take from the people, the more problems we have. Just the reverse. Money can't buy everything. Money can buy a house, but it can't buy a home. Money can buy a bed, but it can't buy a good night's sleep. Money can buy medicine, but it can't buy health. Money can buy a beautiful church building, but money can't buy the power of God. Andrew found that a little boy with a small lunchbox was there, and he said, "It's not much, but it's a start." Maybe we could start with that. Then Jesus had the true solution. As he took that little boy's lunch and showed that little is much when God is in it. That's the key. And so in all four Gospels, Jesus gives thanks prior to the breaking of bread. Only God can fill emptiness. Not only that, but we can be thankful there's an empty cross. I've never appreciated the crucifix hanging on a mirror or a hospital wall, or maybe you're up there on the dash of a car. Jesus is not on the cross. And by the way, I believe that some Catholics are saved. Not because of the Catholic Church, but in spite of it. The empty cross is full of God's promises. The empty cross tells me I can be forgiven of all the sin that I've ever committed or ever will commit. The cross was a cruel place of death. Jesus was beaten. He was broken. He was bruised. He took it all upon himself so that we would not have to take it upon ourselves. The empty cross tells me I can be free of my past and have a great life in and through Jesus. When I could not go where he was, he came to me. He came down to my level when I could not go up to his, as someone said. The cross is the place where he died. But today it's empty. It's an empty cross. Jesus is not there. Jesus is off the cross. He was buried, and on the third day he arose from the grave, and he conquered death and he conquered hell for you and me. And so the empty cross of Jesus, the empty cross of Jesus, we can be thankful for it. We're forgiven. Not only that, but there's an empty tomb. I'm thankful for the empty tomb. In verses 8 and 9, Jesus showed that the way to live is to die. Without the tomb, there's no Savior. It's just another religion. Christianity is just another religion among thousands of others. The only true religion, by the way, is Christianity, real biblical Christianity. The devil's behind every other one, no matter what it's called. Whatever name you can give it, the devil's behind every other one. He is the true originator of false religion. No salvation, no hope. Nothing is sure without the empty tomb. Tomb, you shall not hold him any longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger than death. Stronger than the darkness is the light. Stronger than the wrong is the right. Faith and hope are triumphant. Christ will rise on Resurrection Day. And when sunrise smites the mountain, pouring light from heavenly fountains, then the earth blooms out of out to greet once again the blessed feet, and her countless voices say, Christ has risen on resurrection day. For in the fact of the empty tomb is the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the promise to every one of us that we too will be raised in eternal life. If Christ be not risen, friend, we're still in our sins. We are wasting our time here this morning. You could have something else better to do than being in church if Christ did not rise from the grave. To those who know Christ as Savior, death has lost its sting. It's no longer something to be feared. What fear is it that when you have to, when you have the promise that one day you'll live forever with Jesus Christ, you can't scare me with death. You'll have to have something better than that to scare me with. Because of those who are saved, death is graduation day. We graduate from this world into our true home, our eternal home in heaven. And what a wonderful promise that is. The world gives us promises. God gives us emptiness, full of promises. Isn't that wonderful? And so for those of you who have not been born again, you've not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, look inside the empty tomb. Jesus is not there. He's risen just as he said he would. And so we're all just poor, lost sinners who need a Savior. And that Savior is the person of Jesus Christ, who came into this world not because he had to, but because he loves us. He went to an old rugged cross to die for our sin. And he was resurrected on the third day. What a wonderful old story it is. And I'm going to draw you now in a picture. This picture is looking from inside the tomb. And it takes in, in one picture, it takes in the death, burial, resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's have all the lights out. I'll turn my lights on over here. If you can't see, move around if you will. Someplace you'll be able to see. Some of you on this side might not be able to see very well. Thank you.
I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him is always near. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along the way.
folded cloth over there to the left in the tomb. In Jewish culture, that means he's coming again. Not only did he come the first time, but he's going to come again. Let's all stand. Every head bowed. Lights on, please. How about you, friend? Are you saved? If not, you can be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And I wonder if there's a man or a woman or a young person this morning who might raise up their hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure where I'm going to spend eternity. But I'd like for you to include me in your prayer today." I'm not asking you if you're a church member. I'm not asking you if you've ever been baptized. I'm not asking you if you think you're a pretty good person or not. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did not die for himself because he was perfect. He died for you and for me. And the Bible goes on to say in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever," that means anybody, "for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Isn't that wonderful? And so this morning, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, just raise your hand and say, "Preacher, include me in your prayer today." My prayer will not save you, friend, but I'm praying that you will trust Christ as your Savior. Anybody like that today? Anybody like that today? Father, we're grateful for your goodness and your mercy, and we're grateful for the resurrected Christ. Without the resurrection, what we're doing today is worse than useless. And God, I pray that you would help us to share the gospel with everyone we can. Sharing the gospel that Jesus came. He loved us enough to die for us. He was buried. He conquered death and hell and rose on the third day. Because he lives, we can live also. We need not fear death. Death has lost its sting because of what Jesus Christ did for us. We ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Maybe you'd just like to come and pray this morning. Maybe God's burdened you about a lost loved one, or perhaps a friend. We're going to sing "Just As I Am." As we sing that song, you come right now. Come on.
Just as I am, without one plea, or shed for me, come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Hey Sam, if you'd come, have a music song. We have pre-baptisms. If you'd hang around. Appreciate it. You may be seated. Let's turn to number 129. At the cross. Number 129.
Alas, and did my Savior bid, and did my sovereign die? could that sacred head for such a worm as I. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden on my heart rolled away. It was there my faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it the crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden on my heart rolled away. It was there my faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide, and shall his glory send. Where Christ the mighty Maker died, for man the creature sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden on my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief and weary pain, a debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden on my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Okay, Sam, we're ready. Okay, we got three folks that want to get baptized. Joey, based upon your public profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hold your nose, there you go. Buried in the likeness of his death, and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Becky? Yeah, that's warm. It's like hot. That's not as hot as hell, that's for sure. Becky, based upon your public profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in likeness of his death, raised in likeness of his resurrection. This way, this way. Another Joseph. It's making me sweat. There we go. Looking good. Joseph, based upon your public profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hold your nose. Buried in the likeness of his death. Raised in the likeness of his resurrection. He's bigger. Okay, we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for these folks that want to follow you in obedience and baptism. And I pray that you'd be pleased with what's said and done today. In Jesus' name, amen.